Do you remember those times we used to prepare introductions? They were fun, weren't they?
Tom, that attack.
I can't tell if that was a genuine laugh or a fake laugh.
It was a laugh.
It was a laugh.
And then...
You're having one.
Yes. Good day to you.
Fucking hell. I don't know why that made me laugh so much. I should clue listeners in that we went through several introductions before that. And none of them stuck, weirdly enough.
No.
But that seemed like a very funny intro.
If you have any suggestions for good intros, please...
yeah, let's do
write
that.
Them on a back
let's
of
make
a
that a thing from now on. Like, send us introductions. Just send us a tweet at TMAcast in 140 characters or less, and that will be our introduction.
How many podcasts? Can you remember?
God, we're 121 now, I think.
After that many podcasts, it becomes difficult to come up with unique and interesting intros.
I mean, I usually just sing, but I think people started to get annoyed with me just singing random intros, so I stopped doing that.
Did you feel like singing something before?
No, because the joy was taken from my heart. Oh. I don't know.
We were singing Chip and Dale.
The Rescue Rangers!
Have we done that before? Tom and Matt. They're podcasters.
Tom and Matt.
We're podcasters. We talk about games and other stuff. If you were a dog and you liked it, you'd woof. Tom and Matt.
I was going to say there for a second, like, if you were to come up with that like 10 seconds earlier, that would have genuinely been the introduction. And then you lost it.
Yeah.
You did what I usually do when I come up with these master of parody things. And on the last line, you fluff it up. Yeah, I'm a master of parody. It's my PhD. How are you, Thomas?
That'd be a mop.
Yeah.
I'm all right. I'm quite hysterical today.
I've noticed.
But well, all the same. What have I been doing today? Playing a few games.
Yeah. Weird.
Yes.
I've just been doing a bit of knitting.
Have you?
Yeah, a bit of crochet.
Oh, you started. You're taking that up, have you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Make myself a really big sock.
Really big sock. What for?
Feet.
Really big foot.
Yeah, from a really
just
big
one.
Foot. Yeah,
just you've got one foot that's massive.
Yeah,
one
the other one's really small. Quite I don't small. Know why. Yeah. Cat's been nibbling on it, I guess. No, let's get off this nonsense. Let's not go down this path, Thomas. How are you? What games have you been playing? Let's keep this podcast serious, Tom.
I played a bit of Tengami this morning, a game I mentioned previously that I'd picked up while it was on sale on the Wii U store, or the eShop, as Nintendo like to call it.
Because
it's an electronic shop. I guess that's why it's called the eShop. And Tengami is a... Actually, I didn't know exactly what type of game it was upon purchasing.
Yeah.
And it's very much a touch-controlled game. I thought perhaps you'd move the character with the stick or D-pad, but no. It's one of those games where you tap... to make the character move. So you tap the point where you want him to move to. And that actually surprised me quite a lot.
That it was touchscreen. Well, it did start as an iPad game, to
be fair. I didn't know this, actually. It's beautifully presented, for one.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is exquisite. In fact, if I'd have played this game the year it was released, I definitely would have included it in my best soundtracks.
No, that's good.
Very relaxing. I'd say... It isn't smooth sailing all the way. It does feel a little bit cumbersome at times, the moving mechanic does.
You know?
Yeah. And also you find yourself looking at the gamepad and not looking at the screen. You've got a beautiful game that really is better appreciated on the television screen, but the fact that you have to look where you're pressing to move in that direction, you tend to just look at the gamepad.
Yeah.
It's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
That's the game type that it is. And you interact with this paper craft sort of world by pulling tabs and out to reveal certain things, like a staircase, for example.
Yeah.
But then you may have to have the three staircases, and they might have to be altered in order for you to ascend the staircase.
So you're
for
like
example.
Pulling so tabs then.
Pull one
like...
out, and then, oh yeah, but I've got a line that's a bit up with the other bit.
Ah,
so you
okay,
pull
so
that
you
bit out.
Pulling it out a little bit. You, yeah.
And
okay.
The gameplay consists of these sort of puzzles.
Yeah.
No, I can appreciate the game, actually, and I can see it as one of those you might play with a friend. You might sit there and think, how are we going to do this one?
Yeah.
For me, just playing this morning on my own, I grew tired of it rather quickly, I have to say, despite really being impressed by the atmosphere the game created. And it's quite beautiful in its simplicity.
Yeah.
But the controls are a little bit cumbersome for my liking.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
But then again, it is a game, I did double check my facts before I said it was originally released for iPad and iPhone. Mm. So, I mean, it has to work on a small screen also. So I guess that's probably why the controls are so cumbersome.
Yeah, the character himself is rather small.
Yeah.
What's quite interesting is when you want to enter a building, for example, you'll turn a page. So you'll stand on a light in front of a door.
Yeah.
And then you'll see sort of an on-screen signal on the sides of the screen to tell you now you swipe across to turn the page. So every time you enter a building, you're turning a page and you're turning it back and such. It's a nice mechanic, but it wasn't immediately evident that I had to swipe.
Yeah.
It's a discovery type game. You discover how the game works as you play it.
No hand-holding.
No, like there's a hint. You can press the top left-hand corner of the screen and get a hint, but once you've had a hint, I think you have to wait a certain amount of time. I don't know if you can have another hint in that level,
yeah,
actually. So only use them if you get really stuck. But that's Tengami. It was an offer, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago on the eShop. I'm not sure if it is anymore, but I could recommend it. I'd say if you can... At the price I paid for it, I was quite happy with it.
Well, it has it on the iPad. Maybe I'll give it a look. Obviously, I've got a little cable that plugs into my iPad as well. I've also got an Apple TV, so maybe I can play it on the big screen anyway.
It's a brain bender.
Yes. Okay. Interesting.
Go on. What have you been playing, Matthew?
I've not really been playing that much.
You haven't.
This week,
what have you been
doing?
With
you. editing a new Boy Curious video, which came out today on a game called Terrifying 9/11 that I discussed last week.
Explain what Boy Curious means.
Yeah, it's bootlegs and oddity Game Boy games. I assume most people listening to this podcast know what my YouTube channel
is. If you've never heard that and heard that Matt was working at editing a video called Boy Curious, you might wonder if it's a factual video about Boy George.
Perhaps,
example.
Yes. But no, it isn't. It's about Game Boy games.
Yeah.
The title is a bit tongue-in-cheek. And, yeah, so I've been doing mainly that most of the week, to be honest with you, and watching some Gundam, because I'm on a bit of a Gundam kick at the moment.
Oh, you are.
Really, really recommend, if you liked Gundam, I watched Gundam Wing that came out here. I quite enjoyed Gundam
Our
Wing.
Generation was exposed to Gundam Wing through Cartoon Network, I think.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Also, the same as the US. That was the big thing that brought it over to the US, was Toonami in the US showing Gundam Wing, and through there, Endless Waltz also. But I was
there's
actually
something on the
watching.
Microphone.
I know it was a little bit of fluff coming out. It's okay. I saw you, like a little cat, just looking at that string and pulling it out.
Oh, like a monkey, you know, picking into the monkey's hair. Sorry.
If that's what you want to call my microphone, you're more than welcome. Please don't do that.
Sorry for interrupting.
Yes. Okay. It's all right. But they have a series called Mobile Suit Gundam, which is what this all originated from, and the 1979 version is called 0099 because it takes place in the Universal Century year 0099
I see.
And it's pretty good, so I've been watching a bit of that, and then I've been watching this various spin-offs from there, so that's kind of been taking up a bit of my time. But I like I said, I've mainly been editing, so I've just kind of been watching this on the little breaks in between with a cup of tea, because they're only 20 minutes. However, I did play a little bit of Tearaway Unleashed, Unfolded.
Unleashed would be a more exciting game, I imagine.
It would, yes.
Totally off the rails.
And that's kind of my complaint with Tearaway Unfolded, to be honest, is that I don't really know if the magic's there a second time.
All right.
I think Tearaway on the Vita, as regular listeners of the podcast will know, is, in my opinion, probably one of the best games of the last 10 years. However,
a must-have Vita game.
It is. If you own a Vita and you don't know Tearaway, you're doing something wrong, because that is an absolute joy to play. Nothing takes advantage of that system more than Tearaway. Was my game of the year, not last year, the year before. Mm. And I would even go so far as if we're going to do a Games of the Generation podcast eventually when everything goes to pot and we're left with PCs and Xbox Ones that can upgrade themselves. Get more to that later. Then I will definitely be one of the games tops of my list. I don't think I've played anything
as good. I wouldn't mind if they can
good.
Upgrade themselves.
That'd be nice. But Tearaway Unfolded, yeah. However, on the PS4.
A game I've sitting on a shelf at home. I haven't tried it out yet. Got it very cheap.
Yeah, well, as this is the podcast, no, I've been working my way through my PS4 pile of shame. I'm happy to report there are only 4 games left on my PS4 collection that I haven't beaten now.
And that's what you mean by shame. These are games that you've bought, but you haven't finished.
Yes.
And you find that shameful.
Well, it's wasteful more than that, isn't it?
Like, it is a shame.
It's because you buy these games and then you don't play them.
It's like Majora's Mask. I never got past the water temple.
God, I didn't even get that far. I got to the swamp in Majora's Mask.
Really?
And I didn't play it past that.
Oh my.
Well, it's just because I've already played it. And I kind of got to that stage where I was like, well, there's some really
nice... No, I was talking about the first time.
Oh, God, no. I beat the shit out of that game. That's why on the 3DS I had no real incentive to replay it.
It's like that image of you beating the shit out of Majora's Mask.
Die! No, that was more afterwards, after I got the Fierce Deity mask and was like, oh, great, that Lover's Mask took me absolutely ages to get. What a massive waste of time to make the end boss very, very easy. Uh-huh. But I've been playing through these games now. At the start of the year, I had a good chunk. Like, I've looked through the games I've beaten this year, and I'm almost beaten 20 games already this year. It's only March. And a lot of those are PS4 titles. I've been trying to get my way through them because I know there's a lot of games coming out this year that I really want to get.
On your Xbox One.
Yeah, of course. On my Xbox One. Such great games as...
Moving on.
Yeah.
And there are a couple.
There's one or two. Recall, hopefully, is coming out this year. But there's a lot of games I had sitting around, and I've worked my way through them all slowly. But Tearaway was one that was sat there. And I sat down on Wednesday evening. Admittedly, I was quite tired, so maybe this kind of shaped my opinion of that game.
I know that feeling, being tired.
When your day is long. No, I sat down, I played it, and... As I've said, I really loved the first Tearaway. I started listening to the story at the start. I was like, okay, this sounds like it's very similar. And then I started playing it, and I was like, well, this feels almost too similar to the Vita version.
Was it essentially the same game?
No, it isn't. No. It does divert. It is a different story you're playing through. However, like, it just doesn't feel as nice. I can't describe it. It's like, I got the vision camera for the PlayStation 4, so like I'm still in this big sun or moon in the sky, but I'm a mile away because my PlayStation Vision camera is under my television, so it's not like my face because I'm playing it on
it's
the
like
Vita.
Your living room.
It's like my living room. I don't know, that doesn't feel as good as it being my face. I like to pretend I'm in the Teletubbies.
Well, you could have got it closer to your camera.
But like... The way my living room's set up is not ideal for that. It's like I would have to literally perhaps make some weird like head mount for it if I wanted to get that same experience. And then...
Out of Lego Technic.
Out of Lego Technic. Technic is the future. But I couldn't like do that much. There's a lot of mechanics that revolve around you using the light in the PlayStation 4 controller.
That's interesting.
So like you're using motion control in the game and it doesn't really feel like it's adding anything. If anything, it's actually making the game a bit more complicated to play. So instead of like where you use your thumb or your finger to go through the back of the gamepad to like knock off the box enemies that I can't quite remember the name of, you do that now with the PlayStation 4 controller. You essentially guide them off the edge like lemmings to their death using the light from the PlayStation 4 controller. Not really, it feels very cumbersome. I don't know, it's just a few of the things I've seen this game do, like there's a tap the trackpad to play drums, you know, which you would have done just by tapping on the back of the screen to send up these drum things. I don't know, it just doesn't feel as intuitive.
No, because you have to take...
You have to take your fingers off the thing to hit the button to drum. And it just feels a bit awkward.
Yeah, because of course on the VT, fingers on the back aren't really doing anything, so they're free to interact, and it feels very natural to do that, actually, in practice.
But moving your thumb is actually a bigger deal than I thought it would be. Mm. And so I've beaten the first, like, two or three levels.
Mm.
And then I was like, okay, I'll put this down. I'm not in the right mindset, perhaps, to appreciate this. But I've had no urge to go back to it.
Okay.
I'm going to beat it. Mm. I really, really, really like that universe, and I want to show my support a bit.
Yeah, great aesthetic.
But unfortunately, I don't think there's ever going to be another tearaway for the Vita, and I don't think they quite nailed what it should be on the PS4 either. Mm. So,
and that game sort of appeared, and then kind of disappeared with a bit of a whimper, didn't it, really? There wasn't a hoo-ha around its release.
No, there wasn't. I mean, people generally quite lukewarm with it, which is a shame, because, as I've said, the first game is absolutely brilliant. And the most depressing thing to me is that most people won't play the original game. They'll play this one.
Mm.
And then they're going to go, oh, well, this isn't a great game. It's like drawing the crown for the squirrel. You do that in this game. And it's like, oh, you can download an app and you can link it to your PlayStation 4 and you can do it on an app. Isn't that brilliant? I'm like, yeah, but I could have just done this on the Vita on the touchscreen. Like, it was there. I didn't have to have an extra peripheral near me. I mean, I know everyone's got phones, and I mean,
I think, you know, even before going into playing Tearaway Unfold, you must have got the idea that this wasn't going to be quite as intuitive as the Vita version.
I knew it wasn't going to be. I knew it was going to have some issues with this kind of thing. Obviously, like, the Vita is made for this game, and it uses a lot of the things. But I don't know, it just feels like a half-baked port. Like, it's its own story. It's got different things going on. But it doesn't sit well with me. I can't describe why. Yeah. I really like the universe. I really like how relaxing that game is to play. It's just something that doesn't fit right. I'll talk about it more next week, I guess.
Yeah, it'd be interesting
when you've
finished it, what your thoughts of it are then.
Yeah, but for now, no, I'm not really that bothered, which is a shame.
That is a bit.
Yeah. What have you been playing, Tom?
Other than Tengami, I played some... I was looking for something a bit more action-orientated after playing that, and I thought I'd have a go on Freedom Planet, as I couldn't be bothered to turn another console on. I thought, well, I'll play another Wii U game.
Fair enough.
Freedom Planet is great. It's the closest thing you can get to Sonic without actually being Sonic.
Yes.
So, you know, those who really enjoyed playing games, I think it's got most in common with Sonic 3 onwards, Sonic 3, Sonic and Knuckles, in its aesthetic and some of the mechanics of the game.
Yeah,
it really is so close to Sonic. It's if you changed out the sprites, you could be playing a new Sonic game, and that's no bad thing, because games like Sonic are few and far between. You know, it itself is quite unique, I think, the Sonic series.
Yeah,
and this is the first game I've played to really recapture that magic, and it does make you long for. It's obvious that a game like Sonic can be made now if you've got the know-how and the skill. You don't play as a hedgehog.
Yeah.
You play as a furry character.
Okay.
I'm not sure what I am at all. Like a cat. You're kind of like a cat.
It looked like a cat to me.
Sort of cat-like, purpley character. You can choose. There's two characters in the game. It's just a really fun game. The mechanics of it are, as I say, some things within... the world are similar to Sonic, how you interact things.
Yeah.
But the actual character yourself, you've got like a dash like, you know, Sparkster?
Yeah.
You've got the best of that, you know, because it's really cool in Rocket Knight where you can kind of charge up and then diagonally fly into the air. So it's a lot like a greatest hits package of some of the most classic 16-bit platformers.
That's good.
Bright, colourful, nice music, joy to play. So far, plain sailing, it's not the most difficult game. But the level design is really nice because even though the levels can be quite sprawling, you never feel like you can get lost or stuck. There's always a way around them, as in Sonic.
Yes.
You know, even if you fall down to the next level, into a lower level of the area, there'll be a way to get back up from that way, and you'll never reach a dead end. It's very user-friendly in that respect. And I can't recommend it enough. Anyone who likes Sonic would do themselves a great disservice not to play this game, I think.
Do you reckon we'll ever see like a Sonic Maker, do you think?
I think Sonic itself is so much of a more complex game in the how the levels are designed. It would be very difficult to take that kind of grid way that Mario Maker works and apply that to Sonic.
I just think things like loops and stuff you could have bigger tile sprites for, and
it's possible, yes. Maybe thinking about it more, it could be done.
Because, I mean, like, at its essence, you can literally, like, run through a Sonic game quite easily. Mm. Like, you don't have to do it in the same way, too. It's not like, okay, like, all of these are extravagant loop-the-loops and you're going through the air. If you made, like, a Sonic 1 type generator, you could quite easily do that, I think. Mm. There must be something to it.
It would be quite interesting. I'd like to play that game.
Yeah.
But I guess now it would just be seen as a cash-in on Mario Maker if it was ever made. But if it's a good game, then who cares if it's following a similar formula?
If they want to throw out a Mega Man Maker, I will get behind that
100%. And it's got a great ring to it.
Yeah, Triple M.
Mega Man Maker.
Mega Man Maker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is what it is.
I've also been playing a great game I picked up last night, actually, which was a one-on-one fighter, 2D fighter for the PS3 that I'd not heard of. It was called, I found out about it through a YouTube channel, the one I frequently drop name of on this podcast, which has been great for introducing me to many new games. That's the
No Crumpets,
just games. And they're talking about this downloadable title they picked up in a sale for only about £3 something. And I was like, wow, sounds great. And I saw a video of it and I'm sold. It's called Chaos Code.
Okay.
And it's the copyright's 2012, so this game's been out quite some time, and it's totally under the radar for myself.
Yeah.
But it's a really colourful, very fast-paced, very enjoyable one-on-one fighter. At a time when I'm feeling a little bit disenchanted by Japanese anime-style fighters.
Yes.
This one managed to really keep my attention. I played through one of the characters' story modes right to the very end, persevering with a very cheap final boss. And that's where the game runs into a slight problem.
So, why?
It's that old recipe of final cheap bosses in fighting games.
Okay.
He's really cheap. You know, he's a lot of projectiles, a lot of attacks which appear from nowhere at a distance, and they attack you. It's hard to get close to him.
Yeah.
And the only way to do damage to him is to get close to him. So I found myself having to use the game's slightly brokenness to my advantage, because it is a game where if you get another character in the corner, you can keep him there.
Okay.
If you spam the same move over and over again. And that's what I had to do in order to beat the final boss.
That's
and
a shame.
Of course, it's within the game to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So that kind of let down a little bit for me, but I have to say, overall, it's very enjoyable.
Yeah.
In a way that I haven't experienced out of one of these games for quite some time. It's fast. You've got this air dash, which really feels nice, actually. Everything's got a bounciness, a playfulness about it. A good variety of characters. It's not strictly an all-girl fighter, but there is a predominantly female cast.
Yeah.
You do have these twin characters, which are a little bit like, imagine Ice Climbers in Smash Brothers.
Okay.
Where you control one, but the other one follows. And it's actually got a great sense of humour. You've got a chef character, which hits you with a giant wok when his combo reaches
What's
its maximum.
What's it called again?
It's called Chaos Code.
Chaos Code.
And it's published by Arc System Works, but developed by another developer. No, it's not an in-house Arc System Works game.
The developer is FK Digital, apparently.
It's got a slightly budget quality to its presentation.
Yeah.
But once you actually get into the gameplay, it's one of the most nicely animated, colourful fighting games I've played in a long time.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, it looks pretty good from what I can see here.
I definitely give it a shot for those who maybe are like myself, who are getting a little bit fed up of these fighters. If you throw that one on, and I think you'll feel like you've travelled back in time to Waku Waku 7 type age of classic 2D
see,
fighters.
See, that's when you said the words hit with a walk, the first thing that came to my head was Waku Waku 7.
Yeah. And the cast is reminiscent in some respects. It's not as much variety as there is in Waku Waku 7's cast, but it's a very fun game. And it's $7.99. That's how much it cost me, because unfortunately, by the time I got around to buying it, the sale had gone. So,
but I mean, that's a pretty good price still, like, even for just a as a new price. I mean, come
I'm
on.
Not sure if it ever got a physical release.
I'm actually checking that right now.
Maybe it did in Japan, but maybe not Europe.
Perhaps not. Doesn't seem to give me anything when I'm searching for it. But
look it up. It's hiding in the PlayStation Store,
well,
tucked away.
For this to escape your notice is very interesting because you're generally quite up on these things.
I try to be, but I guess in recent years.
Yeah, I know.
After my Saturn flurry of 2D fighting.
Yeah, but I mean, like, recently you've been talking about how, like, 2D fighters don't really do that much for you anymore, and you kind of got tired of all these Japanese games. Tell you what's the first thing that pops up when I type in Chaos Code PS3. Tom Clancy's The Division for the PS4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, weird that.
Really?
I wonder
you
if
can't
I search.
Escape that
I
game.
Wonder if I search for another random game, will The Division pop up?
Yeah, it's at the front of nearly every video I've watched on YouTube through my Wii U recently.
All right, let's just type Saga Frontier because it's the first thing that's come into my head. No, unfortunately, The Division does not come up there. I wonder if I type Saga Frontier PS4. A game that doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't. No.
Will that direct me to The Division? No, it doesn't direct me. Frontier PS4, No Man's Sky is the first hit.
Okay.
That's really odd, though, because, I mean, like, look at this. There's no, like, oh, did you mean? It's just, it gives me The Division.
Yeah, well, I think Ubisoft have paid someone a lot of money to advertise this.
Yeah, interesting. Game. It'd be interesting to see next week when the reviews drop if that game's a big pile of wank or not. But we'll see.
Who knows? Who knows?
Indeed.
Played anything else?
Yeah.
We did. Oh, sorry.
We did. Let's get into that then. Speaking of games with more action, played a bit of Broforce.
Oh, yes. Pleasantly surprised, actually.
Yes.
I wasn't so sure if I could even be bothered with it after seeing some of the videos, but...
Yeah, this brings up an interesting discussion, as with your 2D fighters, like, I'm over 2D fighters. You've kind of got into this weird thing where if anyone who's seen your game room or listened to this podcast for a long time will know, you're a person who tends to buy games, play them for a good 10, 15 minutes, maybe an hour, get a gist of them, and then never play them again. So I was quite...
Not strictly true.
Not strictly true, but for the majority, you have to be
honest. I am very interested in video games, and I'm interested in trying video games and seeing how different developers approach different ideas and such. But yes, you're quite right. If I do have this thing when it comes to video games, why aren't I downloading every free PlayStation Plus title just to try them?
Yeah.
And that all boils down to time, I suppose, and also space on the hard drive.
Well, like I said, you don't have to download them. As long as you click purchase, they are then added to your PlayStation Plus thing for future consumption. Well, say, hey, maybe I should try this out.
I guess a lot of the time I see the videos and decide, well, it's not for me. There is the occasion where I see something that's like, wow, yeah, I must play this. This looks really cool. Unfortunately, Broforce wasn't one of those games that grabbed me upon its visuals alone.
Yeah.
But through playing the game, I was pleasantly surprised. We had a great time. It's a great multiplayer game, I have to say.
It is. I'd heard good things about this game in the past and was quite eager to try it out, especially when I knew it was coming to PS4. Same with Crypt of the NecroDancer, actually, but I still haven't downloaded that
game. I'd never heard of that.
I've been listening to Giant Bomb and they've been playing it on Steam because it's been out on the computer for a long time. Okay. This was actually in Steam Early Access Broforce for about a year now. So this game
and that's
out.
Probably why it won its vote.
I assume so, yeah, because people were aware of it and wanted it to have a go. But it's fair to say it's kind of a bit Meat Boy meets...
Aesthetically, very much like Meat Boy. The way it feels to control the character is rather Meat Boy-esque.
Yes. Meat Boy with guns.
With guns.
Yeah.
And not such an emphasis on platforming and obstacles, but... More on a strategic way to take down the many enemies that are littered through its levels.
Very strategic, actually. Yeah. It kind of hit me by surprise. We played the first couple of levels on co-op, and I was like, okay, like this is just like jump over there, kill these people, get to the top,
Although
jump
you'll
on a
soon find as you play through a few levels, you can't just run into them and shoot them.
No, because you get fucking murdered.
Because one shot kills in Broforce. And there's a really interesting live system.
Yes, it does.
Where to gain extra life, you must free another bro who's captured within the level.
Yes. And some of these bros have amazing names. When you collect a bro, you will change character. And all of these bros are parodies of a famous action star or film character. Some of the puns are amazing. Like, the first five characters we had were, like, B.A. Bro-Rackus, Bro-Mando.
Bro-Hard.
Bro-Hard. Not
Which
so
is
good.
Not so obvious, actually. Yeah. That's Bruce Willis, yes. John McClane.
Bro-Mando.
Yeah, Bro-Mando. Who was it?
And
what was the Rambo one?
No, that was just Rambro.
Rambro,
Bro,
yeah.
What was Chuck Norris's character, Walker Texas Ranger?
Yeah, I can't remember. It's a Texas Ranger, Walker.
Yeah, I can't remember.
That wasn't the best one.
That wasn't the
Some
best
of the
one.
Best ones are
Brobocop.
Brobocop.
Fucking brilliant.
Brobinator.
Yeah. But they take a name and they add bro to it. Some
Braid.
Of them don't work.
What was Blade? Like, was he like bro? No.
I can't remember.
Bro in Black.
Bro in Black was a terrible one. I was like, wow, really? Like,
yeah.
It's just...
And each character has their own unique weapon.
Yeah. Quite interesting, though, because, I mean, like, they're blatantly, like, skirting in the face of copyright. Like, there was just Judge Broed, as in
I
Judge
think it was
Dread.
Like Judge Bro Dread or something like
something
that.
Something like that. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, great, but you've put Judge Dread in your game. How the fuck are you... Have you got Judge Dredd in you? Like, he looks exactly the same.
He does
like
look very similar,
looks like
especially
an
that one.
Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
And, like, most of them do. I mean, obviously, like, when you boil it down to that scale, like, in the game, everything's very 8-bit aesthetic to it of very flat colors. Kind of reminds me of, like, do you ever play Sword and Sorcery EP on iPad?
No.
Great game. You should check that out. I can't remember the subtitle of it, but I'll show you on my iPad later. But that very kind of like mini lander from Legoland, kind of like block face dynamic to it that game has, is kind of emulated here, but with very small sprites. It's just a joy to play.
At
it's
times
really fun.
It's a little bit like Worms with the artillery-based gameplay. You can some character throw grenades, and that's quite satisfying when you land a grenade on target.
Yeah.
The way the enemies explode, very fun.
Yes.
The way they... when you, for example, what's that bro the one that throws dynamite?
Oh, it's MacGruber. It's MacGruber from Saturday Night Live sketches.
And he throws a dynamite, and they run away screaming with the dynamite attached to them and explode
it
in a flurry of blood and guts.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of like things in the scenery as well. Like, there's a lot of environmental hazards, such as exploding barrels.
Yeah.
And, like, propane tanks that if you shoot, they kind of like set fire to everything around them and then launch up into the air and explode.
And I like the destructible scenery as well.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like,
you can create your own path through a level by destroying some scenery.
Yeah, which also feels very Worms, like the idea of like mining around something to get to someone else.
And for those who are thinking, oh, it sounds very fast paced and all, at times in quick bursts it is fast paced, but actually there is a slower, more methodical gameplay going on.
Especially when, like, to get lives, as Tom said, you had to free prisoners. So I was dead a couple of times, and then you were having to like sit there and just kind of like look. And I was like, okay, well, if you jump around that way and shoot through the wall there, you can get through to the crate so I can be revived, and then I'll shoot this. And it's very methodical, I think, surprisingly so.
Yeah, there's a lot more to this game in multiplayer than I imagine there is in single player. Imagine you'd be missing out on a lot of that kind of survival. Well, I know it'd still be there, wouldn't it? But the teamwork aspect was really rewarding for me.
To be honest with you, I would kind of hope single player would be a bit more forgiving in terms of lives. I hope you would at least get one chance to fuck it up. Because, I mean, that was what saved us in the multiplayer, is that when it became very fast-paced, and when shit was going down, and when we were just firing at trucks and they were blowing up, and that was causing the barrels above them to blow up, and then you'd catch a stray bullet because there was too much going on.
Yeah.
Fortunately, one of us was generally on a higher platform and didn't get shot, and then it was like, oh, shit, well, you've got to now go here, here, and here.
You have to make sure your other player's close to you. You know, you can't get too far away. You've really got to work closely together. You can't just go off on your own.
Yeah,
and do
it doesn't go split screen or anything. If you fall off a screen, you fucking die. So there's a few times I want to explore areas and I'm like, well, should I go down there or is that just imminent death? And nine times out of ten, it was just imminent death. Yeah. But then as we started getting into later levels and we fought the first boss, which is a giant helicopter, there were a few things where we're like, you could go down and like burrow around a little bit and get some items and ammo and grenades and things. Interesting game. Very, very curious to play a little bit more of it.
Yeah, me too. I'd like to see it in four player.
Yes.
As well.
I think that would be chaos. It would be brilliant.
I'd like to try it. I don't know how it works really well in two player, but
yeah.
Is it a case of too many bros spoil the broth?
Perhaps too many bros, too many bros. Thank you. That's going to be in my head for next week.
Sorry about that.
The Versus, though, I'm kind of okay with, but not really a lot of longevity there for me. I think that would be a bit too manic with four player, but it could also
be
really fun.
It's not quite Towerfall, but it is, in essence, rather Towerfall-esque.
It's got that attempt at like local multiplayer. It'd be interesting if you could play that online, because with Towerfall, unfortunately, you can't. So
I imagine, actually, with four player, that's more players better in Versus as just one-on-one.
It's a pretty big map, but I mean, like, how easy it is to die, and it's essentially you spawn on either sides of the screen, and then it's essentially, depending on who's got the longest bullets, you can just fire your bullets over and kill them. But the screen also starts moving down, so you can't really stay in the same area for long. And obviously, like I've said, there's randomly generated environmental hazards from what I've seen. And there's also enemies on the map as well, so you can catch a stray bullet from a terrorist or whatever.
But for those looking like a good local multiplayer game for PS4, pick it up. If you're a PlayStation Plus member, it's free at the moment.
I assume you are. I mean, so just get it if you've got a PS4. It's not bad. I didn't see the price of it outside of that. I assume probably around the £7 mark, hopefully. Yeah. Not a £15 game, I don't think, but
might be one of them $7.99 ones.
Maybe.
Not a $15.99.
I would pay $7.99 for it. It seems okay.
Yeah, like, I'm just going to pick it up actually when I get home.
Yeah, see? Interesting. Also, Galaxy is also free. I'll play that by next week so I can let you guys know what that's like. But if you're playing it, let me know on Twitter at TMAcast and see what it's like. I'm going to play it. I've heard nothing but good things. Yeah. So we'll see. But it looks like it's a game that requires a lot of time investment. So be interested to play.
I'm afraid I still haven't played Firewatch, which we did mention.
We did.
I might pick it up last week.
And you might not, and from those things, you did not.
And I picked up Chaos Code instead.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
I suppose this week. I did, however, purchase some other games.
I purchased a few, too.
Who wants to go first?
I'll do my first one, because it's one I've played.
Okay, that's it.
And that is Twilight Princess HD.
Oh, one of this last week's big releases.
Yes, it was. There was something else that came out on Friday as well, but I can't quite remember what it was. There was another big game that I was like, ooh. Oh, no, actually it isn't. I tell a lie, it's The Division that I was thinking
that's
of. And
coming
that's
out
on
soon.
Tuesday.
Previously it was Far Cry Primal, which I know a lot of people we know were quite enjoying.
Yes, they seem to be.
But Twilight Princess.
Yeah, good game. I have never played Twilight Princess. As I was telling Tom earlier...
Well, you say never played. You have briefly.
I have briefly played. I got my Wii U for Christmas. Of what year did that come out? You were working in games retail. Go. 2000 and
I can't remember. I didn't have one when it came out.
2000 and whatever. I bought one at launch. I'd reserved one months in advance. However, it had come to that time where it was around Christmas and I wanted to go out and I wanted to do other things. I was like, well, I could spend £180 on a Wii U, but then I will be broke. So I said to my mum and dad, like, look, I've reserved this thing. Can I get it for Christmas if I go halves with you? And they were like, yeah, okay, cool. At least you've got something for Christmas then.
And that's how much it was?
It's 100 and something, 200 quid maybe. I don't know. I can't remember. It's a long, long time since then. But I got it. I reserved it, I picked it up, and I was like, well, I kind of paid for half of this. Can I at least have a go to check if it's working?
Really?
The age-old excuse. And my mum was like, okay, you can play for
check
a few hours.
Check that it's working,
yeah,
of
man,
course.
Man, oh.
Have you used that a lot?
I used to use that a lot as a kid. Like, you know, well, in all fairness, the once bitten, twice shy thing, I did get an Xbox 360, and I wanted to say, I said, hey, can I check it's working? And I played it for a couple of hours and it fucking red ringed. So I'm glad I did that because that would have ruined my fucking Christmas otherwise. I played it. I got it. I set it all up. I did all the motion bar calibration and all this shit. It took an age. And I was like, shit, I've only got like 2 hours to play this. I need to sort this out really quick. Did all that. And then I started playing it in my living room of all places, which is
that's
quite
a normal place
to
play.
The regular place to play a video game. Fortunately, my mum and dad, not much into games, if at all. So, like, all of my consoles will end up in my room, which is a very small box room. And I played it a little bit on the TV, but I also had Red Steel, which is a fucking terrible game, and I immediately, as soon as I put it in, I was like, wow, this isn't very good. I played a bit of that first, and I was like, okay, well, I want to play a bit of Zelda just to see what it's like.
See if it works.
See if it works, wink. But
it
I
didn't work as well as you were expecting, did it?
No, it didn't. It was fucking awful. Like, I watched the intro, and then I ran around a little bit. In the game, and the remotion controls were giving me a bit of chip. And then I got to the point, like, half hour into the game, maybe, if I'm being generous. I think it's about 10, 15 minutes, where you get the slingshot.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, aim the slingshot and kill these things. And it's just so fucking fiddly with the remotion controls. Motion, not remotion. I said that twice. The motion controls. So I was just, like, trying to play it, and it just felt really off.
Hmm.
I was like, this is a GameCube game. If this was a GameCube, I would just be able to aim right now and fire. And I was like, maybe I should get the GameCube game. So it went away. And I was like, okay, well, I'll get into it Christmas Day. I'll set it up in the living room and be proper. And we had guests around and stuff. So my mum and dad were like, well, if you want to play it in your bedroom.
Yeah.
So I took it up to my bedroom. Like I said, there's a box bed room. Essentially, how my bedroom used to be set up before it became all adult was essentially there is a bed. At the end of that bed, much like in your place in where you moved out after the Tomato Shack,
yeah,
there was a table at the end of the bed.
Yes.
And my console was on there.
Okay.
Try playing a fucking motion control game while sat on a bed.
Yeah.
I had to move the TV off the bed. I had to switch my computer and the TV around to try and play it in the first place. But also because of the size of my room, it made it fucking impossible to play. And that was the moment in time where I was just like, fuck motion controls. I'd seen my friends playing it on a GameCube. I was like, I could just buy the GameCube game and this would be a lot better experience.
I wonder how much more adult your bedroom
Well, no, like my bedroom now is like...
Didn't turn into a sex dungeon, did it?
No, it didn't. There's no swings. I don't know. It's just my mum and dad did it out after I moved out. There's now a double bed in there and some of the stuff is pushed off to the
wall.
That's
it. What you know, when you say adult, double bed.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I still haven't got a double bed back in the room I have at my parents' place. Yeah.
But it's just
still a high bed.
Yeah.
You have to climb up a ladder.
Really? Oh my God. Yeah. No, I had a single bed, and obviously there was room then for a computer desk and stuff. But like I said, it's a box bedroom. There's just a double bed in there now with some shelves, a wardrobe, and then that's pretty much it. It's not a lot of space in there. Mm. But yeah, it was just a fucking nightmare to play. And I was like, well, I'm not going to really enjoy this. I'm going to get it for the GameCube. And I never did. I was so pissed off that I'd paid 50 quid. And like, if we look at this realistically.
So you never went back to that game?
I had no inclination.
You still have that game?
I still have that game. I just didn't care. Mm. Just really just not bothered. I was like, okay, maybe I'll play this again. Maybe I'll get it. No, just don't care.
Right, you're not the only person I've spoken to who played Twilight Princess on the Wii and been disappointed by the motion controls.
I just despised them. It felt so tacked on, and I knew there was a version of this game that my friends were playing and enjoying for the GameCube, which did away with that.
Mm.
And lo and behold, started playing it on the Wii U this morning.
It's similar to the Tearaway
idea.
The game wasn't made to have motion controls.
Yeah.
And yet they were shoved in there.
Yeah.
As the Tearaway wasn't made to work with the PS4, it was made specifically for a Vita, and therefore it doesn't cross over very well.
Well, I mean, like, that is a catered to experience, though. Like, that it was a game that was meant to work on the Vita, and all the dynamics and things that it does, people like on the Vita version.
See, that makes the game, doesn't it?
But then they take that styling. They take the papercraft, and they take all of, like, the story setting and the theme and the music and stuff, and they transfer that to a console. So, I mean, you're still running around. You're still using the controller to run around like you would on the Vita. It's just all of, like, the interactivity in terms of, like, you poking your fingers through the screen and stuff that made it very feel unique and very cool. They took that out and tried to replace that kind of thing with PlayStation 4 controller stuff. It doesn't work. The Wii U version is literally the Wii version is literally the fucking GameCube version. They flipped the world, so Link's sword's in his right hand, so because everyone who they thought was playing it, most of the world is right-handed.
Yes. And this is going back to the original left-handed Link
just
of
felt
the GameCube
shit.
Version.
It was early days of motion controls. Yeah. They weren't that responsive. Mm. And it just felt awful, and I never played it again because of that. I always wanted to get
But
the
now,
GameCube.
Now you have that chance.
No, I can.
Probably you'd pay as much for the GameCube version as you would now for
would
the Wii U version.
I would pay more for the GameCube version. I checked that before I bought it, because I was like, well, maybe I should just get the GameCube version and finally sit down and play that.
Oh, why though, when you've got the ability to play HD?
Yeah, that's true.
If it was cheaper, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. If it was, well, like, you know, I paid 40 quid for this. I got the limited edition. I
with
went
the
to
Amiibo?
Game... With the Amiibo and a soundtrack for 40 quid. It's all right. It's cheaper than Amazon. And
Amazon,
much...
I saw, has got about 43 now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's going up slightly. But, yeah, it was the same price as the regular version. I checked GameStop here in Denmark, and it's fucking 600 kroner.
Of course.
So it's like 60-odd quid. And I was like, nah, you're all right. Unfortunately, our phone down the road, our retailer of choice in Denmark, is actually closing in our hometown, which, you know, hometown, the town that we live in, at least.
Well, it's essentially our home, yes.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. It's really bad, because they're not getting in any new stock now. And I'm just like, oh, shit, I really...
But they got Zelda. No, they didn't get Zelda.
They didn't get Zelda. I had to go to Colling, which is a city quite nearby, to get it, and they had a copy of this left, so I got it from there.
They're still getting the stock in.
Yeah, because they are keeping open, but...
Really? Yeah. It's the Star Wars.
Well, they're shutting 30 stores, and most of them are on Jutland. Small geography lesson for you after the English lesson of last week. Three islands make up Denmark. There's Jutland, Schellen, and Fyn. Schellen is where Copenhagen is the biggest island to the east. Yeah. Fyn is the little island in between them. And then Jutland, where we live, is the one that attaches to Germany and the rest of the European continent. We live on Jutland, but most of those stores getting shut. Same with Fyn. Most of the ones in Schellen, because it's a Copenhagen-based company, are staying open. However, they believe they're not doing enough trade here. Which is a shame, because it means... I'm not going to be able to buy fucking video games without taking
a trip. Well, there's Elgiganten. The problem with Elgiganten here in Vila is they don't restock very well.
They're
at all.
Awful.
They're really awful. In fact, their Wii U section hasn't been restocked in ages and is looking very bare at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I went on their website to try and order it, because usually you can order to store, which is what I did with Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
And their expected stock date of, like, the regular version, because, like, and bear in mind, I checked this a couple of days before it came out.
Yeah.
Is, like, 16th of March or something like that. It's like 3 weeks away. So, like, they obviously can't be asked to stock the Wii U from
those. They're really not interested in stocking Wii U. In fact,
I don't think they're interested in stocking games, to be honest.
No, no, they'll stock the biggest new releases. But other than that, I mean, they haven't restocked Street Fighter since I was there last week and bought the last copy.
They had nothing else. They had no Battlefronts. They had no anything. I think they're just getting in their initial wave of stock and selling it through.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. It just
they're
seems
not
to
the
be...
best retail games retailer.
I would. No, I think it's just our store, to be honest. I'll be fair to them, because I mean the one in
actually the Colling Moor one has
and
look,
Horsens
yeah.
is all right.
Colling, yeah.
But no, sorry anyway, for non-Danish listeners, this is completely irrelevant.
Nah.
But yeah, so I played it. I played the first hour or so. I still don't get why you're a wolf. I really haven't got a grasp of why I'm in this thing. I got an hour into the game, I got the sword, I met Zelda, as usual fare. I know a bit of the story now. Looking forward to playing more of it.
I like the world. I think, you know, it's got that kind of more gritty aesthetic, which is... it's nice that Zelda's often changed up and given a different lick of paint. It's good.
Well, I was thinking about it, like, just looking at this world compared to, and honestly, like, the last Zelda game I played to completion was Wind Waker on the GameCube.
Oh, very different.
I've bought everyone
polar
since.
Polar opposite to Wind Waker.
And then never played it. And it kind of makes me sad that this was the game we got instead of Wind Waker 2, because they were going
to
make it.
Like a reaction to the negative press people who saw Wind Waker at first, you know, gave to the game. But of course, in playing Wind Waker, you quite quickly realise how good it is.
Yeah.
And I for one, think the aesthetic in Wind Waker is beautiful. But
I've heard a lot of negative things about Twilight Princess. Well, it's very close to Ocarina of Time. It's very this, it's very that. Like, it feels nothing like Ocarina of Time. It feels like it's got a very unique story.
And you throw the wolf in and you're even further away from Ocarina of Time.
It's interesting.
But it's nice that they don't repeat themselves, Nintendo. You know, they try and do something different with Zelda every time. So
yeah, it's a good game. It's making me actually kind of want to go back and play some of the older Zeldas as well. Make me want to beat all the ones I haven't. Like, I've never beaten the NES one. I've never beaten Adventures of Link.
Minish Cap.
I haven't beaten Minish Cap. I haven't beaten any of the DS ones, actually. Like, there's
Spirit Tracks.
Yeah,
Phantom Hourglass.
No, not beaten them. Beaten Link Between Worlds, obviously. I've beaten Majora and Ocarina of Time, as well as Link to the Past. But Yeah, I've only played that kind of cluster of Zelda games when I was younger. I've never really been... Well, I like Twilight Princess. I like Skyward Sword, too. I just fucking hate motion controls. Mm. As I was saying to you earlier in kind of an offhand remark of like, oh, well, I'll play it when they re-release it for the Wii U. And most people will groan at that, but I actually kind of want them to without motion controls. I want to play that game
but
without that shit.
For a game that was built around motion controls, they'll probably at least have the option in, I
yeah,
suppose.
Yeah, but it's so wanky. I just don't like it.
It was a game that was meant to kind of hammer home how good the Motion Plus was compared to the old motion controls and actually show we can do a motion control Zelda, even though we stuffed up Twilight Princess a little bit. And
yeah, even though we had to make you buy this extra peripheral or get a new Wiimote, because that was a pain in the ass as well, because Wii Motion Plus add-on was shit. Like, any time I was playing it, like, you'd be swinging the sword and then he'd disconnect. It'd be like, please plug
really?
In the
you
Wii
had
Motion Plus.
I've never had a problem with
that. I got a new one in the end. I had to make sure
it was
I had
it. Built in with the one you got with Skyward Sword.
I did not get the gold one, unfortunately. I've always wanted to get one, but I never got it.
Yeah. The Skyward Sword is a beautiful game, actually, and it would be nice to see that in HD.
Well, I mean, it kind of was, really. I mean, I know the Wii U's not the Wii's not the best console.
Yeah, but I remember when they got run on a PC, and the difference between the two versions is quite astounding, and it's a really beautiful game hidden under a layer of murk, which unfortunately the Wii provided at that time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I am very curious to beat this. I may go back and beat Skyward Sword, but I may also... Well, the thing is, like, I'm looking at doing eventually. I want to do Link's Awakening for Biographic, and so I'm kind of holding off on this until then because I have a time and a place where I want to do that episode in my head at the moment in terms of Biographic, but it's a long way off yet. So I'm kind of holding back, but I'm curious to play through all the Zelda games I haven't played and maybe even replay Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask properly. I mean, I've got them on the collection discs for the GameCube for the most part, and I've got Link to the Past, obviously, in multiple forms now.
Mm. Zelda games are usually games that keep me playing for quite a while.
Yeah.
Actually, even though, as you've previously mentioned, I don't always go through and see a game through to completion, I do stick with the Zelda ones for quite a long time because, well, they're just generally rather good games and you get into them, really. And they have a slight feeling of open-endedness to them with their overworlds and such. I was thinking about this earlier, how the games I was playing this morning, I could finish a level and say, well, that was that. And average playtime on Tengami and Freedom Planet was about 25 minutes and I could do a bit. And
or the classic when the achievement pops.
Yeah, that's a lot how I play games lately. You know, I'll get up to a point where the game, I can stop. The game actually gives me a moment to breathe and so I can stop.
Well, this game interestingly does, though. This game has, like, moments where the game asks you if you want to save.
Mm.
So it's kind of got a segmented thing. I don't know if that was in the Wii or the GameCube version, because I never got far enough to get to one.
Well, I wouldn't be able to remember now. I got up to a point in the GameCube version where I was flying. I was holding on to some sort of massive bird, and I was flying through a canyon or something.
Yeah.
And then, for some reason, I didn't play it again.
Oh, interesting.
Hmm. Difficult to go back to these when you haven't played them for some time. Yeah. You kind of want to just start them all over again.
I kind of had that moment with Bravely Default, actually. Yeah. I'm like, I'm on the last dungeon and I have no idea of my team dynamics anymore. And I remember my team being slightly broken and me wanting to retrain stuff.
Oh,
but
it reminds me of Pokemon Sapphire on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
And I was in Victory Road and my Pokemon were incredibly underpowered.
Yeah.
And I just ploughed through Victory Road again and again, and the first fight in the Elite Four did it again and again and again, and really had to sort out all those problems.
Yeah.
But I did it in the end.
Yeah, I'll get there. Like, there's a dynamic in Bravely Default that essentially, for those of you who haven't played it, is it's kind of like a micromanagement sim of like, hey, you put resources in terms of townsfolk that you get through street passing people or unlocking the game, and then you can like apply them to things in a way that you would in like a Farmville or whatever. So the more people you have on something, the faster it works. However, it's got none of the free-to-play things. So it's not like, hey, you can pay like a krona and unlock all this stuff. It's just it waits on time. And so I was essentially, while I was editing the other week, I was letting my item shop do it because I've got like 64. I've passed a lot of people, obviously, who've played this game in the last couple of months.
Uh-huh.
And so I was putting them on the item shop because there's a thing you can get called it's something egg. It's a leveling up aid. there's a reward for like, good job for you. You've street passed all these people. You can now do all this stuff. Mm. And so I've got that now, and I'm going to go and level up all my classes. Because apparently, like, if you level certain things, like the vampire, you can just beat the end bosses with ease. But I want to get a bit more of a balanced team, because I want to beat it. Because like I said, I got bravely second in the wings, and I want to start that from scratch. But yeah, I'll play more of Twilight Princess. I'm going to beat it. I'll beat Tearaway as well, hopefully. I feel it's not very long, and I'm, like I said, I think I'm about halfway through.
I'm very interested if your opinion will change.
I hope so, yeah. But I can't really count on it, to be honest. But we'll see.
Yeah. And I've picked up some physical games this week.
Physical games?
Other than downloading Chaos Code, I did actually pick up some other things.
Let's get physical.
Let's see what we've got
physical.
Here. Yes. I picked up Shenmue 2 on,
yes,
the original,
you did.
On the original Xbox. This was a game I don't have. I've got the Dreamcast version. I was always been very intrigued to watch Shenmue the movie. I wonder how that translates, how they've managed to make some coherent piece out of a game which relies on a lot of conversational aspects.
Well, like, I mean, that game for me is more the experience of playing it.
Yes,
like,
it is. And I don't know if I'd actually enjoy watching it as a movie. It's
no.
The immersion that made Shenmue 1 so enjoyable.
And I mean, the voice acting and stuff isn't really that great, is it? Let's be honest. We've
no,
moved
but
on a long way
of course
since
there. It, I have an affection for it, even though it isn't great.
I know. Let's not quote it, though.
No. well, it's hard to resist.
Yes.
But, this was an... For this game now, it's gone up in price, so it was 200 kroner.
Yes.
That was reasonably good, considering this actually has the movie with it.
Yeah.
Which a lot of eBay copies, unfortunately, don't have.
I was actually tempted to buy it because it had the movie and mine didn't, but you pipped me to the post.
I did, I'm afraid.
Yes.
I hope you don't feel too bad about that, Matthew.
I don't really care. It's out of my shelf without the movie.
I'm actually looking forward to playing this version of the game because, as you'll know, if you played Shenmue 2 in the Dreamcast, it only has the Japanese voiceover.
Yes.
And I didn't mind that at all. But it would be nice to maybe play through Shenmue 1 again and then continue the adventure with those familiar voices.
Yeah, I may do the same. I mean, I have both versions of it. I bought the Dreamcast one because I was like, well, I may as well play this on the Dreamcast and get use out of my Dreamcast.
Yeah.
But I may just play through on the Xbox.
I say familiar voices, but because you end up in China, a lot of the characters you speak to are all new. So Ryo would be the main one. But yeah, I haven't played Shenmue 2 more than once. I've played Shenmue 1 a few times, actually.
I beat it last year. It's going to be my summer game. So. I'm actually holding off because I'm hoping, well, if I beat Shenmue 1 last year, I still remember it because the story is quite vivid in my mind. If I beat Shenmue 2 this year, I'm hoping Shenmue 3 will be out next year and do
it's
that.
It's down as 2017.
Yeah, that's
at
what I'm
least.
Thinking. So I'm just like, let's well, I'll stagger it and then I'll be excited for that game to come out.
Yeah, well, I'll be very curious to whether Shenmue 2 and 1 get re-released in any shape or form prior to the release of Shenmue 3.
Gotta assume so, right? Like, Sega's gonna want to cash in on it, but then it depends how they can make it. I mean, oh man, can you imagine if they did a HD remaster of that? That'd be
Shenmue.
Pretty fucking good. Like, sorted some of the tank controls out.
Sharp though, Shenmue.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Yeah, I'm sure it'd look good in HD, but I remember it on the Dreamcast mostly, and very sharp visuals on that system. I picked up a couple of things. A Game Boy game, Matthew. You like Game Boy games, don't you?
You bought a Game Boy game? What Game Boy game did you buy?
Lemmings.
Oh.
This is, okay. This is the Game Boy Color version of Lemmings.
I was actually going to tell you this existed. I didn't realise this. And Lemmings are no more Lemmings, right?
Yes, I think so. I have it already, the Japanese release of it, which is called
Lemmings
Versus.
Yes, I know.
Which includes a Versus mode.
Yes.
Whereas this version doesn't.
Yes.
But is actually the same game.
Yeah.
Be it with a different cover. So being completist.
It's awful, though.
It's not so bad. It's the same cover art that's on the PlayStation 1 re-release.
Yeah, but it looks poorly drawn for me.
It's better than some.
True.
version. Not as nice as the original Game Boy version of Lemmings, Japanese.
Not as good as the Japanese one, yeah.
Version. But yes, this game isn't great. I'm purely purchased it for completion purposes.
How much did that set you back?
I got it imported. It was like £20.
That's all right. Boxed, for a box one.
Yeah, with manual.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy just a cart, I think.
Yeah.
But.
So I have that. Also, I've been very tempted by a 6-button fighter controller for the PS1.
Did you get it in the end?
I bought it in the end.
Oh, okay.
I think I got it for about £30.
What did it come with?
It came with a copy of Street Fighter 03. Alpha
oh,
3.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A Japanese copy of that.
Faking's great.
So that was roughly the going rate on the controllers, 15 quid. Street Fighter, about 15 quid. So it was all right.
I can't believe you don't own a copy of Alpha 3. That...
I do on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, yeah, but still.
Yeah. So I don't know why I felt I needed to get the PS1 version as well.
It's really fucking good.
Well, not as arcade perfect as the Dreamcast one.
But I mean, you've also got the Street Fighter Alpha Anthology on the PlayStation 2, right?
I have.
Yeah.
And I have downloaded Street Fighter Alpha 1 and 2 on the PS3.
Yeah.
I've got enough versions of Street Fighter Alpha. I used to have the collection on PS1, Street Fighter collection,
yeah,
which included Alphas, I think. Anyway, that's beside the point. I picked up something else, Mega Man 8, actually, on the PS1.
What?
Isn't that quite surprising?
How the fuck did you buy a Mega Man game?
Yeah, I saw Mega Man 8 online on a I've been watching his compilation of clips from PS1 games. It really stood out for me. I thought, well, it looks really beautiful.
Is that quite an expensive PS1 game?
Yes, it is. PAL.
Yeah.
US, not.
Ah. Oh,
so
okay.
Seeing I've got a US PS2,
yeah,
I picked up the US version for £13.
That's
box
all right.
With instructions. I don't know how I'll take to it because still I'm just slowly getting into Mega Man.
Yeah.
But I'm quite interested in playing it because I think it looks really nice.
Yeah. It does. It's a very, very beautiful game.
Although I've heard a lot of criticism leveled at it that it wasn't as revolutionary as I think people were expecting at the time.
No, but I mean, like, it was the jump to new hardware. I mean, Mega Man 7 had come out on the Super Nintendo and was the only numbered Mega Man title to come out on there. And then they went to the X series, obviously X1, 2, and 3, because Kaji Inafune, I think, was kind of bored of doing the same old Mega Man game at that point. So you wanted to shake things up. Yeah, it came out on the PS1 to kind of like warm reviews, to be honest with you. It's kind of one of my biggest regrets. I remember standing in, there used to be a shop called Microstore in Swansea, and this is back in the time when I was like 13, 14, and I had very little money. And they had a copy of Mega Man 8, as well as one of the enders to the Game Boy Advance, which I still don't own. And they were both like a tenner. And I looked
Mega
and
Mega Man
like,
8, PAL,
yeah,
for a tenner.
For a tenner. And I was just like, oh man, I should get that. I really like Mega Man. But at the same time, I was just like, I've heard it's not very good. I won't bother. So I didn't. And I still don't own that game. Also missed out on a copy of X3 because it didn't have a manual. And I was just like, I'm not paying a fiver for X3. It's not got a manual. And then that game's
And now times have changed quite considerably.
Not for the Super Nintendo, though. I did famously miss out on a copy of X2 for the Super Nintendo for 17 quid that my mate Dan was like, I'm having that. And then he didn't buy it. But same shop, I missed out on that Star Fox competition cart. Rah!
Here's a question for you. Yeah. Now, I wasn't a Nintendo gamer growing up, but I've never really felt like, in the UK at least, Mega Man was particularly popular. But was that just because I was a Sega player and not a...
I think it's because you were a Sega player.
Was he pretty big in the UK? Because in America, they seem to have a lot of nostalgia for the character. And
I think he was. I mean, I think he's pretty big in Europe, to be honest, man.
Is.
Like, any time a Mega Man game comes up on sale on, like, a local listing, it's gone in seconds. Like, I can never get it. Or if it comes to an auction,
they're
it goes
pretty
high.
They're very collectible, aren't they? People love the games and want to collect
them. Because
they're
very fucking good games. It's what it comes down to. Look, a lot of local listings. There's actually a copy of Mega Man 6, which is an American-only release at the moment. And it's only been on there a day. Tends to on like Danish and Scandinavian Facebook groups for games. They don't tend to put a list price. So it's not like, oh, 20 quid for this copy of Mega Man and then people buy it. They tend to put things on at 10 kroner and then they say, give bid. Yeah. So they want you to bid it up like eBay. And that happens quite a lot. So people will bid on things. It's already over like 400 kroner and it's only been on there like an hour. So I'm just like, I'm not going to get that.
Have you been tempted by the Legacy collection, is it?
Yes, I'm very tempted by the Legacy collection. They've
on
now released
format?
A physical box of it on the PS4 and the 3DS.
It said the 3DS one with the gold Mega Man amiibo.
Yes, I haven't actually seen it in the flesh though.
No.
So I'm very curious about that. I probably would get it because I want the gold Mega Man.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have not come across it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I probably won't, to be honest. It's probably already sold out and probably already on eBay for like 70, 80 quid. But who knows?
Who knows? Have you played anything else? Picked up anything else this week?
Yeah, I picked up a few games, actually. I'm going to do what you usually do and get out my eBay app and have a look.
Oh, really? Not any more Mega Man games?
Not any Mega
Man
games.
Do you have a big collection of original Mega Man games or not?
I've got 2 and 3 on the NES. I've got 4 on the Famicom. I'm actually really gutted. I don't know if I talked about it last week on the podcast, but like my games store of my childhood, like where I spent every weekend as a kid and would frequent pretty much every other day when I was in uni, Console Action in Swansea has actually burned down. The store was completely gutted by a fire due to an electrical fault.
Really? And did they have the stock in?
Everything,
it got destroyed.
Everything destroyed. And annoyingly, I was there.
That's a lot of money up in flames.
It is a lot of money up in flames. A lot of beautiful games as well. It's the place where I actually got
for game lovers.
Chrono Trigger and Gargoyle's Quest.
Wow.
Demon's Quest, sorry, not Gargoyle's Quest. I did buy my copy of Gargoyle's Quest from there back in the day as well. But yeah, it sucks. Like, but there was a copy of Mega Man 4 there, boxed, before I came back. It literally burned down 2 weeks after I came back from watching the rugby football, that old egg chasing. And they had a copy boxed of Mega Man 4 for £40 without a manual. And I was really debating it. I was like, well, now's not really the right time to spend money on this. It's been here since Christmas. I'm sure it'll be there next time I go back.
Unfortunately,
burned.
Wow. Do you know what the owner's doing now?
From their Facebook group, from the looks of things, they've got insurance and they said they'll eventually open again. But I mean, I don't know if it'll ever be the same.
Building it back up from nothing.
Building
again.
It up from nothing, you know, just like restocking games. But I mean, I guess, theoretically speaking, like, if you get a lot of insurance money and you can kind of prove what stock you had, I mean, theoretically, you could buy in a lot of games from scratch, you know what I mean? Like, you could get a lot of budget PS2 titles, you could get a lot of Xbox One and PS4 games that are currently on the market for cheap. And then getting things for the Super Nintendo and for the Game Boy and everything else that you know will sell because you'll have the insurance money to do so.
Mm.
But I don't know. I mean, that must be super hard, man, to reopen a shop and to do that. Like, it's heartbreaking because, as my girlfriend could probably attest to, like, we used to go in there anytime I'd go back. It'd be my first stop on Swansea because it's what I've done since I was a wee. And, like,
sure,
I've gone to that shop since I was about 7 or 8. That shop's always been there, and it's kind of sad to think it won't be there next time I go home, but it's the way it is. So support your local retro shops, folks.
Before they burn down.
Hopefully not. But anyways, my Mega Man collection, I got all the Game Boy ones, obviously. I've got 2 and 3 for the NES, which I bought years and years ago in Game Station. Unfortunately, I don't have the first one anymore because my dad sold a lot of my brother's NES games when we were younger. Got X5 and X6 for the PS1. I've got X7 on the PS2. Just little bits and bobs and here and there.
Oh,
a few Game Boy Advance games, a few of the DS Zero games and stuff, but not as many as I'd like. There's like 151 unique Mega Man releases.
Oh,
if you chalk
Lord,
up all
I
the
have
console
no idea.
Ones. Well, like, core series, there's a few. I mean, obviously, there's spin-offs like Legends and all this kind of stuff. I've got Legends 1 and 2. Unfortunately, there'll probably never be a third. And, yeah, just over the course of history and, like, various formats and ports and things like Wily Wars on the Mega Drive and this, they branch out quite far. But I've not been buying Mega Man games this week. As I mentioned on the last week's podcast, I picked up a copy of Top Gun, which has now finally arrived, so my collection is now whole again. Fortunately, while I went through the rest of the carts, because I'd only gone through the first binders, I found out that my copy of Tom and Jerry Frantic Antics, which I actually purchased in the same seller, was also a fake, which is quite annoying.
Oh, no.
But I've got a new version of that, and came with a manual, and it was only £3, so I'm not really bothered.
I just imagine you singing that Atomic Kitten song when you, looking back on when we first met, you know.
Yes, I cannot escape.
Can
I cannot forget.
Whole again. Thinking that's your copy of Top Gun.
Oh, yeah. But so I got that. And then I kind of got on a look of like, well, you know, I'm not really that far off the US exclusives of having everything. So I was just having a browse, getting a feel of what the market is like for importing these, and very stringent on the fact that I can't import anything over $15. Because if I do, I'll get hit by tax.
Here in Denmark.
Yeah, so I was very aware of this while I was ordering, because eBay will now actually good enough to put the tax on the item for you. However, most times I look at the tax on eBay and I'm like, that's actually probably higher than I'd pay in Denmark, so I try and avoid it. And looking through them, I got a copy of All-Star Baseball 99, which, if I'm not mistaken, is probably one of the last games on the Game Boy. I mean, 99, the Game Boy Color had been in swing for a year or two by that point. Yeah. And so I picked it up because it was $2, and I don't really see it on eBay when in the hardcore mode of I'm going to get this. Postage was a bit of a bitch. Postage was like $8, but I mean, still $10 for the whole thing. It's all right. Picked up Captain America and the Avengers, which long-time listeners of the podcast will know is one of my favourite games ever.
You bought the Game Boy version.
I bought the Game Boy version. It's fucking awful. But it was cheap. I don't really see it on eBay. It's been in my saved searches for a very, very long time. Captain and a copy America. Popped up for $20.
This is what? Original Game Boy?
Original Game Boy.
I thought you completed the original Game Boy collection.
I have, but I don't have all of the US exclusives.
US, that's what you were explaining. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. So I picked that up after some back and forth with the seller. I managed to get it under the $15 mark with shipping, which is nice. So I'm paying next to nothing for it, I guess, by the time the guy ships it. But hey. And I also picked up Harvest Moon for the Game Boy because there was a copy on Amazon.de for €2. And I was like, I'll have some of that. I'm hoping it'll arrive and not be the black cart, but it did specifically say this is the US grey cart version in the listing.
Oh, what?
So yes. I'm hoping that rings true, because it was like a bulk gaming thing, you know what I mean? Like, they had a lot of Game Boy carts. And then on top of that, I'm hoping it is actually legit and it isn't a Top Gun situation. But then again, saying that, it's €2, so it's okay.
It's dangerous.
Also picked up a copy of Kirby's Nightmare in Dreamland for the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, yes.
Because as you have personally been bitten by fake copies, and I know...
Of that particular game, I think the only time...
I know a lot of people bought fake copies of that game. However,
The bad thing is you can't save.
No, you can't.
You can on the original, yeah. I think. Because you can, because I have it on the Virtual Console.
Yes.
You can. Mm-hmm.
But I saw a copy, actually. I was going to message you straight away, but by the time I purchased this, it had gone. Because it was a copy of Street Fighter Collection on this guy's page.
Street Fighter Collection on
PS1? On the PS1. Unboxed.
The original
Street Fighter Collection. Street Fighter Collection. Yeah. Unboxed, admittedly, it was just a disc in a case, but he was selling it for £3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But
that one's a little bit more pricey now. One went recently on eBay for £20. I remember I used to have the game and I sold it. Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's got a really nice cover.
Yeah. That's a shame I didn't see it. I just saw the disc. This guy was selling a lot of games, but he was also selling a lot of board games and a lot of tats, you know, like women's bracelet or like old watch and stuff. Whoa. So from that, I guessed he was either a guy who'd gone car boot sales and bought this stuff, or he was just clearing out his stuff, because there was lots of like painted space marines and stuff.
Yeah,
that I
probably
guess some
just
guy was clearing out his attic.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the picture and I was like, okay, that looks pretty legit. Like, is it just a picture of the cart and the front and back kind of thing to show, like, oh, there's a little bit of scratching on the back of the cart.
Yeah, yeah.
But it looked proper. Like, I checked all the telltale signs of, like, is this a fake game from the get-go? No, all of the punch marks for the emboss on the Game Boy Advance logo and the trademark stuff on the back look okay. Proper screw, not the three prong, not the four Phillips. Okay. So I did this. I was like, well, I can't really check the board or whatever. I asked the guy, I'll just wing it. It was a tenner with free shipping. So I was like, I'll pay that for Kirby. I really like Kirby games, as you know. Kirby Dream Land's one of my favourites. Yeah. And so I bought it, and then I was looking, I'll check the other guy's auction, because I had it in my cart. I made an offer just so I got it, so it didn't sell for a while.
Yeah.
And then I looked through his other stock, but he had some good games. He had like Pokemon Red and all this, and they were all really cheap. They were all like, you know, like £6-7 or whatever, or maybe a tenner for some. Or buy it now.
Yeah.
But by the time I purchased Kirby, after like looking through and I went to see what else he had, just like I was noticing like anything I clicked on is like, sorry, this item was sold. So there's obviously people going, oh my God, really cheap games and buying them.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm glad I got Kirby out of it. So I'm looking forward to playing that. I got it sent to the UK because the free shipping. But yeah, when I go back next, I'll look forward to playing it.
Yeah, I have it now on Virtual Console, so I can play it and save.
Ah. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. That's
cool.
All I bought and played.
That's nice. Okay. Yeah. Is that about wraps things up?
I think so, yeah. It's going over again. We've done another long podcast.
Pondcast? Or a Pongcast would be
a Pongcast,
more video.
That's what I said, yeah.
You did. Yeah. You said a Pondcast, like with ducks.
No, ducks. Not duck hunting. Just Pong.
No ducks.
Blip. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can find us on the regular places. We're on facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. We're on Twitter at TMAcast. You can also find us, if you were to do
really
that and want to listen to us through your ear holes, like I imagine you're doing now, on blastprocess.com. Hopefully next week we'll have all the episodes up there because we figured out the problem.
You know, the continuing saga of this, it involves reposting a lot of posts.
Yes, it does.
It can be done.
Yes. Hopefully a lot of you listening to this are also like, yay, we're back on track. Because not only did I post the mystery episodes that we did over Christmas, and then I forgot to post before we went on vacation, which was 114. But I also posted everything else. There'd been a weird glitch in the way that WordPress publishes posts to ping our feed.
Okay.
And so even though I'd put episode 117 on there, it had not traced the source file, which meant that when I published the thing, it didn't send it to iTunes because it was a broken link, essentially.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which meant when I fixed that link, it didn't get sent to iTunes either because it only refreshes in automatic order of when we publish them. Because we'd published episode 118 after 117, it had then gone, hey, this isn't here, so we didn't publish it.
Yeah.
For some reason, because of this same publishing error, 119 didn't publish at all, which is a very good podcast.
Oh, we've been having some problems.
So 114, 117, 119, 120 went up last week as four podcasts. So maybe some of you listening to this are actually like a little bit backlogged with Tom and Matt Attack at the moment, but I apologize for that. But, you know, we wanted to get it out there. I mean, we recorded the podcast, we put the time in. And the good podcasts, I think we've been doing some really nice stuff lately.
I wouldn't argue with that.
Yeah, so
let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think on the old Twitter Bobs or the Facebooks, wherever you want to find us. Mm. We've also got Instagram, which is at TMAcast as well, if you want to tweet us there. But, I mean, I only check the old form of
Can you tweet at an Instagram?
Well, what do you do? Like, hashtag us. I don't fucking know.
You like.
I'm not down with the kids.
I don't know. What do you do? Instagram's just like pictures.
Yeah, you heart things. Anyway, you can heart us on Instagram, whatever. And
follow.
Yeah, just let us know how we're doing. If you haven't subscribed, though, and you are listening to this for the first time on tomandmattattack.com/podcast, you can find us on iTunes, where you should subscribe. And while you're there, give us a cheeky review.
Yeah, we appreciate
Why not? It does let us know people are listening. There was a few on that I hadn't read since last time, so that's nice. But please let us know what you think of the podcast. Let us know if you think we're doing good.
Give us a new intro.
Yeah, give
if
us a new intro.
Got a great idea for an intro.
TMAcast,
we might just read it
let
out.
Let us know what we should say at the start of the next podcast. Nothing profane, please. Nothing about my mum. I know that's now opened the gates to be about my mum. Sorry, mum. I know you're listening out there
Mother's
somewhere.
Mother's Day, so...
Yeah, it's just got a
really
cold
lovely about your mother.
Down her spine. Okay, and that wraps it up.
One question before we go. When was the last time you played on your PlayStation Vita?
My girlfriend played on my PlayStation Vita very early this year when she was playing Fez.
Mm.
Other than that, I haven't touched it for a while.
I haven't either.
I really keep meaning to pick up Danganronpa 2.
Mm.
There's also Danganronpa Eternal Despair for the Vita.
Mm.
But I never see them in shops.
Yeah. Let us know if there's any great reasons right now to pick up the Vita again.
Or
because I'm totally lost.
Any cross-buys from the PlayStation 4 that we may have talked about in this podcast over the last couple of weeks that work great on the Vita. Mm. I would also like to know that. Okay, sure. That wraps it up.
Okay.
Until next week, boys and girls of all ages, men and women, children everywhere.
Little cats and dogs.
Yes, if you
and can ducks.
Fit a controller into those ducks' hands.
Yeah.
Game on.
Ducks don't have hands. Game on.